In this podcast, artist Vanessa Deanne Fletcher reflects on her exhibition On Your Cervix, Disability in Indigenous Art and Cultural Practices, and Colonial Comfort.
The work really started from thinking about the process of menstruation and working within performance, thinking about how, we can think about how we go about our everyday lives as a kind of performative act. So thinking about the ways that menstruation is performed. And mostly a lot about the ways that it's concealed. Mm-hmm. And I was started making the work also because I was having a lot of negative feelings about personal experiences with menstruation, and feeling like I wanted to, the narrative in my head was that I wanted to get better at it, and I wanted to, and mostly I didn't want to have stains on my clothes or my sheet or my mattress, and I was feeling really bad about that. So I thought to myself that, I should get better. I should maybe buy some new products, some new, like a different brands of pads or tampons. I was using a Diva cup at the time. I also thought about tracking my period more so I could avoid stains. And then I had a moment in my head where I kind of reflected on both kind of the emotions I was having and the solutions I was coming up with. And I had a moment where I thought to myself, why am I putting so much effort into concealing something that is just a part of my, that is a part of my body, and I'm trying to control it? But, as I'm sure lots of people know, we have somewhat limited control over our bodies. So I was just thinking about the control, the idea that I should be better at it. I was kind of imposing some, moral judgments on myself. And then I started to kind of question some of those thoughts. And the first thing that I did was make some videos where I was just recording pouring my blood out of my Diva cup that I had collected it in onto paper and watching the blood soak into the paper. And so I made these kind of long videos where that happened. And I think the most important part of that, first step, was the act of looking and kind of appreciating the colors and what I found beautiful about it, and kind of putting it into an art context because it wasn't associated with my body. I was doing it on paper, kind of separated it out, making these kind of abstract videos. But that was kind of the first step. The first reflection was, what does this material look like? What are some of the ways that it can be used? What does it look like when it's wet versus when it's dry? What are the different colors? And that was kind of the first step in the journey, and maybe not end, but somewhat end result of the work was the exhibition On Your Cervix that happened at Tangled. I did a fair amount of work in probably around 2011 to 2013, and then 2014 to 16, I was doing my MFA at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, and chose to really focus on developing the body of work as what could become a kind of strong solo exhibition, and use that opportunity in grad school to develop all the components. One of the ways I wanted to approach the work was that I was clearly speaking from my experience, but hopefully in ways that were broad enough so that other people could relate to the work and, yeah, share their experiences and hopefully have some dialogue and discussion about some of the topics. Working within the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, they have a lot of rules about what materials can and cannot be used in the studios as well as in the galleries. And bodily fluids are on the do not use list. So I had to advocate very strategically to have the work be able to be included, to have it be able to be present in my studio and then have it be able to be in the exhibition. And, you know, one option was lying and telling, you know, and just not telling anyone what the material was in terms of the use of menstrual blood on the couch and the chairs. But I really wanted people to know what it was. So I went through quite a lengthy process with myself and my kind of faculty negotiated on my behalf in terms of how to have it included. And one of the stipulations that they made was that there had to be some kind of warning that so people kind of entering the space would know that the gallery contained, you know, may contain human pathogens, I think was the phrase. So I agreed to that as long as I could have the sign be in bright pink vinyl. So I kind of turned it into a bit of a artistic expression of the work, which I felt fit in. But for a long time, they wanted to wrap everything in plastic to kind of contain or control or sanitize it. And I was just completely against it. I just said, you know, if it can't just, you know, the Peace Colonial Comfort can't just be in the gallery space, then as it is, if, you know, we can't figure that out, then I won't include it and I'll show something else. But in the end, it did work out. I had the pink vinyl warning people about the very dangerous menstrual blood, and then I had the work displayed mostly as, you know, as I would have wanted. Yeah, I think taking it to Tangled allowed a little bit further development of the work. It allowed a lot more space. In terms of the accessibility, it was really great to work with, to be able to work with the gallery, to learn more about accessibility practices and develop that piece. But it was also good because we had I had some conversations with Eliza about early on in the process about the possibility of the show, and she shared with me some of some accessibility features to keep in mind in terms of touch and audio versus visual. So while I was making the work, I was able to just kind of have that in the back of my mind, and I think that all of the work I was making was already very interdisciplinary in terms of how people can experience it, but it was nice to have had that conversation to be able to think not just about the way I might be experiencing and expressing my work, but the way other audiences might as well. It was interesting, while I was making the work, my teachers were all aware that I had a learning disability, but I think they saw that as really separate from what I was making, and disability didn't really enter that much into the conversation. Some of the conversation often went that there's kind of a side of the work that could air a more just like echoing a kind of second wave feminist body practice, and I got some critiques that was maybe a little outdated. But for me, the work was incredibly relevant. I saw it. I think I experienced the intersections within myself in terms of being Indigenous, being a woman, and being interested in Western feminism as well as Indigenous feminism. And then while I wasn't necessarily foregrounding my experience of disability, I think that, or at least I like to think that it always enters into what I'm making. I didn't set out to make an accessible self-exam table. I really just made one that I was comfortable sitting on. And while we were talking about some of the accessibility features, one of the things I brought up was that the legs of the table screw in and out. They're kind of pre-made furniture legs, so that I could have different sizes in case people wanted different heights, which was a great thing to think about. I was really thinking about how anatomy interacts with the different, with kind of our like social construction of ourselves. So maybe how we imagine, define, or express ourselves, and how culturally we're understood. And sometimes those two things line up and sometimes they don't. I was really thinking about how wanting to explore the ways that my physical body was understood in a kind of political or cultural sphere, and find out what that was like for other people as well. The aspect of having people come to the show and invite them to look at their cervix, or, you know, either kind of physically using the speculum and mirror to look at their cervix, or kind of more metaphorical self-examination, in terms of just kind of asking the same questions, was really, a way of inviting dialogue and trying to find out what other people thought. Because I think early on in the work, in terms of just kind of going back to some of the earlier work I made with menstrual blood, I started to find out that some of the assumptions I was making about how people were interpreting my body, or the kind of cultural conversation that was happening, wasn't always, that there's a lot more possibilities for the conversation than I was imagining. I was kind of feeling a lot of pressure of, a very kind of narrow definition of that conversation. Found that a lot of people were interested in having other representations, other experiences, and, you know, making meaning in different ways. Yeah, so I've had kind of a mixed experience in terms of, you know, trying to start to have a conversation about accessibility with curators I'm working with, just as we talk about framing and displaying and our contract and all the other pieces that go along with exhibiting. I try and include at least asking about their accessibility practices, and different galleries have had kind of, everybody's had a response that is very open and willing to try and include more accessible practices, but it doesn't always work out the way you want it to. in terms of having, actually having ASL interpretation or having different accessibility features kind of carried through. Hopefully that will come with more experience and continuing to kind of foreground those conversations, and think that the more accessibility becomes part of, like I said, all the other kind of features of setting up a show, then the more it'll happen, and the, you know, like you said, more kind of better or more exciting or interesting ways of experience artwork will come out of it. So colonial comfort, I read that phrase when I tried to go back and find the book and the quote so I could actually cite it, but that's why I'm an artist and not a writer. I couldn't find it. But I read the phrase when I was doing some research about the Victorian era and Victorian furniture, which the settee is, I don't think it was actually made in the Victorian era, but it's the style. And so the style is that it has springs in the couch, in the settee. So it's got springs and there's wood carving on the kind of wood frame that's carved out. And yeah, there's also kind of other visual elements that make it Victorian. And I was doing a little bit of research and reading about these elements, and a lot of Victorian furniture was actually kind of influenced by Turkish furniture, and when the Suez Canal was built, it really increased the transportation of Turkish furniture to Europe. And then further along, the building of the railroad in North America again allowed for furniture to be built in factories in, you know, central locations and then distributed throughout the continent. And the springs that are in the couch, that was like an innovation that happened during the Victorian era. So they talk about the furniture getting a lot more comfortable because it has these springs in it. And also there were some other kind of technological advances that made life more comfortable. So yeah, so I read this phrase that talked about the Victorian era as being one of colonial comfort. And it just really resonated with me, because those two words don't at all go together for me as an Indigenous person. There's nothing comfortable about colonialism. So I thought about whose comfort are we speaking to? And then I also thought about the ways that Indigenous people and disabled people continue to persist against these kinds of comfortable norms. And I see the way that the menstrual blood as a kind of representation of, you know, the possibility of fertility and the possibility of future generations of Indigenous children as bleeding through onto the couch, in a sense, staining it. And that was the first alteration that I made to the settee after I had it upholstered in the white fabric. And then really about a year later, I was continuing to work with with porcupine quills. And one day, you know, started kind of using the pointy end that would grow out of the porcupine onto the, and adding it as a kind of additional outline to the blood-stained portions. Because I think I was wanting to emphasize the tension and what's at stake in terms of our comfort or our bodily integrity, and adding that risk that you might poke and hurt yourself, and that the strength of the animal to make something that will protect itself, and thinking about the strength of our cultural practices to protect ourselves. And so I added that, so again it kind of looks like the quills are growing out of the couch and out of the bloodstains on the couch. the colonial comfort way we know disability. And the, yeah, I guess the way that certain cultural norms make certain segments of the population really comfortable, and disrupting those norms can be, you know, really liberating and exciting, and can make for a lot of inclusion and comfort for people who have been excluded or made to feel uncomfortable or unsafe. But I guess that there's also, yeah, a disruption for this segment of the population that was maybe kind of operating within a kind of space of limited comfort, if we could call it, right? Because you're still adjacent to all the everything that's going on around you that's uncomfortable, but you've kind of made your world limited enough so that you don't see it.
Thank you, Vanessa, for your thoughts.